Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Israel today ended an agreement that facilitated the work of the main United Nations Relief Organization for Palestinian Refugees. UNRWA, which is the biggest aid provider in Gaza, is still providing humanitarian aid in the territory. And just before coming on air, I spoke with their spokesperson, Louise Wateridge, who is currently working in northern Gaza. And I first asked her about the difficulties in providing humanitarian aid in northern Gaza after 3 weeks of Israeli bombardment.
Yes, so we were on a mission to Gaza City yesterday. Unfortunately, we were held for 5.5 hours at the Israeli checkpoint. That prevented us from doing two of the visits that were planned. One was part of the polio vaccination campaign. Another was to visit a school, an UNRWA school that was hit in a strike just last week. We needed to go and assess the situation and provide relief to people in this school. So in the end, the visit was to Shifa Hospital only before we had to return and come back. Shifa was absolutely devastating. I don't think you can really describe our Shifa Hospital as a hospital anymore. It certainly has no features of a hospital. The entire building is burnt out. The courtyard, there are syringes scattered and medical equipment scattered and destroyed everywhere. And it's just a site of absolute devastation. We spoke to some of the doctors there. They're working from a building that they've constructed in the last few months. The hospital didn't function a few months ago in any capacity, so they've refurbished and built this building on the premises, and now the doctors are working there. And it's just absolutely heartbreaking speaking to them. A lot of the doctors are actually student doctors. There's a huge shortage of doctors in northern Gaza at the moment. Some of the doctors are in the south, and sadly many have been killed or injured during the war, and they don't have anything they need. And you speak to these student doctors that they're on the front lines. They've been on the front lines for 13 months now, and they're doing everything they can to help people, but they don't have anything that they need. The doctors are telling us they don't have hygiene or any kind of sanitation materials to even have the hospital clean. They don't have enough medicine. Sometimes they have to ration the medicines that they give to patients. So what would normally be a full course of medicine, they'll cut it to half or even a quarter to try and give as much out to different patients. You know, the ICU was a disaster. A lot of the bedding was not clean. There was blood stains, and the whole facility just reeked of blood, as many hospitals here in Gaza do. So really just awful scenes, and a sign that situation is not getting better, and the health system here is just completely decimated.
I know UNRWA has been warning that the military operations of the last couple of weeks, which have been very intense from Israel in northern Gaza, are putting thousands, maybe tens of thousands of lives in danger.
Yeah, Jabalia and Beit Lahia, this is the very northern part of the Gaza Strip, they are completely besieged. They have been under siege for a month now. It will be a month tomorrow. And during this time, we have not been able to get any humanitarian supplies in. That is a whole month. Around 90,000 people, we estimate, to still be in this besieged area, have gone without food. The water wells have been bombed. People have fled for their lives. They're trapped in their homes. They don't have anything. The hospitals there in this area are not functioning. There's one, I believe, surgeon remaining at one of the hospitals. Mm. And it just sounds like a disaster. We cannot access this area. As far north as we have been permitted is Gaza City. Every day we ask to access the north part of Gaza that is under siege, and we are denied this access. We are denied the ability to help and provide any kind of support to these people trapped there.
I know your Commissioner General is again calling for an immediate truce, particularly in northern Gaza, because he says people are just waiting to die.
Exactly that. The people I spoke to yesterday, I mean, we were standing outside Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, and there was a strike nearby. A father ran through the courtyard screaming with a child, a young boy in his arms, who had visibly been injured in the strike. And people look, because there is a commotion because people are screaming. This child is rushed through, and then it's like life carries on because, you know, I was speaking to my colleague, and this is what they see. This is what they experience every day. So what might shock us and what we might turn away from when it's on the news and we see these images, these people are just seeing child after child after child be pulled out of the rubble, be rushed through to an ICU with no medicine and no doctors. And that is their reality. The doctors were saying, you know, they've got thousands of cancer patients, no treatment, no doctors, no treatment. So sure, people are dying of bombs and strikes now, but they are also dying of disease. And that's the reality we have. People are dying of lack of healthcare, lack of access to basic rights, lack of access to food and water. It's endless, you know, the list of things that people don't have, that everyone else in the world it takes for granted. And here in Gaza Strip for 13 months, they have not been able to have access. They've been denied that right. That is the reality on the ground. And every day is more desperate. Every day it is more painful. And the suffering just gets worse.
Can I ask you finally, Louise, there were reports that a healthcare centre in northern Gaza was struck yesterday while parents were bringing their children to get polio vaccinations. I don't know, do you know anything about that incident?
I know about the incident 2 days ago. There was a facility, a healthcare facility, where children were being taken for the polio vaccination. And this facility was hit in the strike. It was damaged. There were four children injured in this incident. The same day, a UNICEF worker, a humanitarian worker who was driving to support the polio campaign, was hit in her car. So this has been our biggest fear. And the polio campaign, you know, it's absolutely critical. This is polio. It's been eradicated from the Gaza Strip for 25 years. It's critical that these children receive these vaccinations. But on a day where, you know, children get bombed the day before and children get bombed the day after, it's so hard to prioritize anything anymore because there's so much death and there's so much disease around. You know, what might be, you know, the importance of the polio vaccination, sure, but there's no guarantee and there's no certainty of safety for these children after this. Mm. And this is one of the biggest struggles humanitarians are having. We're fighting a battle on all fronts. We're trying to find safety where there is none. We're trying to provide humanitarian response when it's being denied and there's no access. We're trying to do everything we can for people here, but everything is working against us. And what can you do? You know, you have children coming for a polio vaccination campaign and the facility is hit in a strike. It doesn't get more desperate than that.
Louise, thank you very much for joining us this evening. That is Louise Wateridge. Thank you.